Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans, and we'll be continuing today with part two of Grace Abounding. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
As you know, we are living in times where sin seems to be abounding more and more. Things that previous generations clearly saw as sinful are not only accepted today, but some are even seen as special virtues. So we're really going back to a paganistic cultural situation where the biblical understanding of morality is being just sort of erased right before our very eyes. And so sin, although it was certainly in the hearts of men, and it certainly did work itself out into society in, you know, various ways, it was still suppressed to a large degree because of the adherence to a biblical type of morality. But that, it's just gone. It really just isn't there any longer, is it? This is where we've come to. Sin is abounding. Here's the question: is there any hope? And the answer is yes, there is hope. Because as Paul says here, where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. You see, God is not intimidated by sin. Grace is able to conquer sin. Grace is able to roll over sin. And we need to remember that. Paul knew himself the power of the grace of God because he experienced it in his own life. And having experienced it in his own life, he was able then to testify to the grace of God. And as he said here, his grace was exceedingly abundant. And so Paul is writing these things. He's writing to this great city of Rome that is so abounding in sin. And he's writing with just this absolute confidence that where sin abounded, grace abounds that much more. So Paul knew it from his own personal experience. He knew also about the grace of God from the Lord himself. And then when Paul writes to the Corinthians, on one particular occasion, he's addressing the issue of righteousness with them. And so he reminds them that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. And then he makes reference to several lifestyles or behaviors that would be in that category of the unrighteous. And he speaks of the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers. He mentions male prostitutes. He mentions homosexuals, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. And then he says this, and such were some of you. He's talking to the church. And he says, and such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. You see, just as Jesus had told Paul, I have many people in this city. And when he went in and he began to speak and to preach the gospel, he found that people from all different walks of life and from all different backgrounds of sin began to respond to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, we need to remember our own story as well, just as Paul would reflect on his and share his own testimony. We need to remember our own story as well, because we can lose sight of the grace of God that was shown to us. We forget sometimes where the Lord brought us from. We forget how pitiful we really were. We forget how bad off we were. We forget how deep down in sin we once were. And because we forget that, we then are not thinking in terms of what the grace of God is able to do for people today. And we look at certain people and we just write them off. We just think, oh no, it's hopeless. Hopeless situation. Nothing could happen with a person like that. Oh, they're too far gone. But we need to remember where the Lord brought us from, and just to know that there isn't anyone that is beyond the grace of God. There's no sin that's greater than the grace of God. Where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. What Paul is saying is that there's more grace than there is sin. There's enough grace to cover all sin. Now, again, we look around and we think, well, wait, it seems like there's way more sin than there is grace. Well, the grace, of course, the problem is it's not being applied. It's available. It's not being applied, but to some extent it's not being applied because people don't know about it. And they don't know about it because they haven't been told about it. And they're not being told about it because the recipients of it have forgotten about how glorious it is and have grown silent and are not communicating, in some cases, to others about the grace of God. We can't forget these things. We've got to remember where the Lord brought us from. And we also need to be sensitive to the voice of Jesus speaking today, just like he did in Paul's day, about different places and peoples that we might look at from the outside and say, oh, that's a hopeless cause there. Oh, that's a God-forsaken place. That's a place that's doomed. And surely there's nothing God could do or probably would even want to do in a place like that. But you know, it's not true. This is what we can know. In places where sin abounds, there's grace available. So what we could really do, and what we probably ought to be doing as Christians seeking to further and advance the kingdom of God, we ought to be looking around for really sinful places and saying, this is where we need to go, right here. But you know what happened? We've lost sight to some degree of our mission, what we're doing in the world, and we get tempted to live in a comfort zone and leave the cities, the inner cities and so forth, to just become more and more and more laden with sin. In many of the large cities, Christians just vacated the cities. And we don't like that. That doesn't fit with the kind of lifestyle we want, so we're going to go out and, you know, find a more comfortable place. But we have to remember, we've got the answer. We've got the solution. So if the church vacates the city, if the church leaves the city and just, you know, isolates itself out in the suburbs, then what hope is there in the city? We've got the hope. We've got the answer. And thank God that in the past several years, there's been, I think, a fresh vision in the minds of believers to get back into the cities. A lot of the younger generation of believers they're gravitating toward these cities. And God's putting them right in the thick of this thing. And this is a great vision because God wants to reach people. And of course, cities are full of people. Big cities are full of people, aren't they? And by faith, we've got to take that to heart, and we've got to believe that the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the solution, that where sin abounded, grace is abounding much, much more. And there are still sinners today, just like there were in Corinth, who need to be saved. They need the grace of God. Because if there's anything the Bible says, it's like we've read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, real sinners, wicked sinners. Over in Ireland, we have some friends that have a church in a little town on the west coast, and it's a kind of a surf town, actually. And one of the guys in the ministry there was the Irish national surf champ, and he got saved, and he's on fire for Jesus. And so he shares the gospel with everybody that he can. And there was a guy in the town who was literally like the town shaman. He had his shop where he had all of his, you know, materials that he would sell to people in the town, and they would come. And, you know, I mean, he's really like the town witch doctor. And he's well known for all of this kind of thing, just a full New Age practitioner, but just, you know, an occultist, basically. And so John just starts sharing the gospel with him. And lo and behold, this guy gets saved. And now he's freaking everybody out in the town because he's like the town evangelist. And the crazy thing is he has such a hunger for the Bible. Every few weeks, he's flying from Ireland over to England to attend classes at the Bible College because he just so desperately wants to know the Word of God. But again, you know, this is a guy, just think, if you moved into a town and it's like, yeah, that's the witch doctor. He lives right there. They're like, hey, well, let's stay away from that place. No, that's where the gospel needs to go. That's where the gospel went. One last story. I was sitting in the church on Sunday that I was going to speak at. And this fella came up and he was looking like he was introducing himself to me. And so I was, hello, how you doing? And he just kept staring at me and kind of mumbling. And as I stared back at him, and all of a sudden I realized, I know this guy. But he'd gotten older. And so I didn't recognize him so quickly. But once it registered who he was, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, John. And we, you know, embraced, and it was a great couple of minutes of catching up with him. But the amazing thing about this fellow is that about 20 plus years ago, he was the town drunk. He was the town brawler. He's a big guy. He's the kind of guy that nobody messed with in the city. And we had a little outreach team go over to the city that he lived in. And lo and behold, some wimpy little teenager, scared to death, went up and approached him and asked him if he ever had heard of Jesus and if he had ever heard the gospel. And he said he hadn't. So the kid shared the Lord with him, and he got saved on the spot. He's been a Christian for 20 plus years now. So this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. This is what the grace of God is for. It's the grace that saves from sin. Where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. And now, this is where we need to bring it to the point of personal application. There is no sin in your life or my life that God's grace isn't able to conquer. And Jesus came, we've got to remember this, he came to deliver the death blow to sin. He came to set us free from sin. He came to break us out of that captivity. And as we go into the sixth chapter, as I already mentioned earlier, we're going to see just how all of this works. But there's more grace than there is sin. And that the grace is exceedingly abundant and it's able to conquer sin. God does not want you as his child living in bondage to sin. And he's provided all the grace that's necessary for you to be freed from sin. You see, grace isn't just an idea. Grace isn't only the way that God deals with us. Grace is sort of a synonym for the power of God that works in our lives. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, we can be strengthened through grace. And it's through grace that we obtain the victory. It's that power of God coming to us, freely coming to us. There's only one thing that is necessary to receive the grace of God, and that is to know that we need it. That's it. In the 20th verse, the first part of it, look at what he says. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered that the offense might abound. You see, what we need to realize is our sins are an offense to God. Sin offends God. He's not happy with it. He's not content to allow it to go on in the lives of his children. It's an offense to him, and we need to realize it's an offense to him. And when we realize it, and when we cry out and say, God, I don't want to offend you, guess what he does? He supplies us with an abundance of grace to overcome the sin. But no one will ever overcome sin if they refuse to realize the seriousness of sin. If I think that somehow I can just go on in sin and everything's going to be okay, I've fallen under a deception. No, Jesus came to set me free from sin. He came to destroy the work of the devil. He came to purify for himself his own special people. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what the grace of God teaches us. And as we cry out and just say, Lord, I am a sinner. God, please give me that grace. Of course, that's how we get saved in the first place, right? But you don't stop after you get saved. All of those areas in your life that are inconsistent with your confession of faith, all those things in your life that are unpleasing to God, you have to keep on doing the same thing. Lord, I hate this thing in my life. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Would you give me that grace to overcome this? And he will do it. He will do it. That's what he does. That's what he longs to do. And we simply must cry out for it. And as we cry out for it, and as I'm saying crying out for it, as we're crying out, it's, we're indicating our need. We're indicating our desperation. We're indicating our weakness. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I think Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what Paul says. And that's what we're talking about. Who shall deliver me from this? Lord, you're the answer. Your grace is what I need. And as we do that, then that abounding grace that we're reading about here, sin abounded, but grace abounded much more. And that's what the gospel's all about. It's about the abounding grace of God. You know, I concluded just a few days ago that so few people really understand the grace of God. I think there's an epidemic in the church of confusion over the grace of God. The grace of God is God's way of dealing with our sin. It's His way of liberating us from bondage. It's His way of lavishing His goodness and His love upon us. And yet you find that so few people really get it. So few people really comprehend it. And unfortunately, sometimes even the person in the pulpit doesn't get it. I was speaking at a place a few nights back, and the minister was sincere, no question about it. And I know he was doing his best to do what he thought was right in challenging the people. But, you know, it was just a lot of guilt and condemnation. And I sat there listening and thinking, these poor people, they're already beat up. They don't need to come to church to get more beat up. But like I said, the pastor was well-intentioned. I know he was. He could sense his heart. He wanted to communicate the right things, but he just laid more burdens on the people. And I was a guest speaker, and I'm sitting there thinking, my message is like the polar opposite of his little exhortation that he just gave. So I don't know how that's going to fly. But you know, I got up and I shared basically that, you know, our God's a blessing God. Our God's a smiling God. Our God's a gracious God. And I had so many people come up to me and just thank me with tears in their eyes because they said they'd just been so beaten down. Not that moment necessarily by that, by their leader, but just in general, they'd just been so beaten down. And one man came up to me and he actually had a little poem that he had written that day. And it was about the blessing of God. And he says to me, he says, I want to read this to you. And he reads it to me. It was really a precious little poem. And he says, I wrote this morning, but I didn't know if it was really true. I didn't know, am I right that God's a blessing God? Or do I have this wrong? And he said, and I came here tonight, and you just confirmed for me that God is a blessing God. And then a lady came up and she said, I'm the one that I always think that God's frowning at me. I always feel like God's angry with me. And I said, He's smiling at you right now. He's a smiling God. It's the grace of God. So, know this. Where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. And that grace abounds to the lowest pit, and it's able to take someone from the deepest depths of depravity and set their feet upon a rock. But it's the same grace that also takes us, God's people, further into His blessing, further into the experiences of His goodness and His love. It's all by grace that we grow and progress and become the people that He's ultimately making us into. So just know this as we close. Again, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Know this, God has more grace than you've got sin. And He's able to take that abundance of grace and pour it on you and wash and cleanse and renew and strengthen you through His grace for His glory.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of One Man's Righteous Act. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Grace Abounding. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0127. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.